Welcome back to another sumptuous Talking Lamar podcast. On this episode, we're going to be talking French fries, where they come from, how are they made, and just how delicious they are.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
I know they teach a lot of things at school, math and English and history, a lot of history. But I'm afraid they might have missed an important lesson, the history of a beloved culinary treat that has been a huge part of my life and millions, maybe even billions of other people all over the world. Europe didn't know what a potato was until the 16th century. Spanish forces brought potatoes back from Peru. Now, Spain controlled a big area, and part of that is what is now Belgium. So they were some of the first Europeans to eat potatoes. In the 1700s, Belgians fried very small fish for their meals. But when the rivers froze over, they couldn't get the fish. So they sliced the potatoes thin, just like the fish. They fried it and ate them. Now, the Belgian soldiers introduced the fried potatoes to French soldiers during the Franco-Austrian War. Potatoes were a hard sell in France. It was considered edible only for hogs. A French pharmacist, Antoine Augustin Parmentier, who was also a farmer, was a big fan of the potato. He introduced it to Benjamin Franklin, Marie Antoinette, and some more aristocrats. I'm thinking maybe had Marie Antoinette said, "Let them eat taters instead of cake," she might have stayed out of the guillotine. But she didn't. Now, Parmentier had a potato patch, and he hired guards to surround the patch and guard it so that people would think that what was in the patch was very valuable. What a marketing genius. He told the guards to go ahead and accept bribes and then let the people steal the potatoes in hopes it would catch on. But the snooty French refused to accept that lowly potato until the famine in 1785, and they were glad to eat anything. So over the next 20 to 30 years, chefs in Paris started cutting the potatoes into strips and frying them. They called them frites, and they became very popular as a street food and had vendors selling them around on the street. It seems that the term French fry was reportedly first used in this country when Thomas Jefferson requested potatoes in that French manner at the White House at a meal they had in 1802. By 1856, the term French fry was being seen in print and in cookbooks. And during World War I, American soldiers stationed overseas, they took a liking to French fries. And when they got home, they couldn't find them. That was a new favorite snack they'd been eating for the last couple of years, but they couldn't find them. White Castle started offering French fries with their hamburgers. Now, French fries, they're the perfect fast food industry side, because the condiments on the burgers, the ketchup, the mayonnaise, the mustard, and such, are perfect dips to drag the fries through. Now, for me, you can add honey mustard, not ranch dressing, I hate that, Thousand Island, and even milkshakes. People will dip fries in milkshakes. You're only limited by your imagination. Now, Canadians, they put fries on a plate, they add cheese curds, they cover it with gravy, and they call it poutine. And, of course, Outback, cheese fries, world famous. But let's go ahead and skip ahead and talk about the king of French fries, McDonald's. When the McDonald's brothers had one hamburger stand, they bought their fry oil from Interstate Foods. And partially hydrogenated vegetable oil was the perfect cooking oil for fries. But the equipment was too expensive for Interstate because they were a small operation. So they provided a blend of 7% vegetable oil and 93% beef tallow. That way, they could extend the oil's life, but they wouldn't have to buy the costly machinery. Now, the greatest tasting, most famous French fry in all of history was invented by somebody cutting a corner to save a buck. What about that? Take a little break. We'll be back and finish talking about some McDonald's stuff.
What is only $4.99 a month but gives you such pleasure? That would be the Bob and Sherry Premium. Exclusive content from the show, including our classic chat room calls and best of CDs. You'll get behind the scenes photos and videos of not only us, but our listeners. It's a lot of fun. Just $4.99 a month. And the website to get all of this is bobandsherry.com/premium.
We're back. We're talking about one of my favorite subjects, French fries. And Ray Kroc, who was selling milkshake machines, he ran into the McDonald's place and met those guys, and he ate some of those fries. And he said, "Oh, buddy, you got something here." And he's thinking, if I could get a hold of this and get that recipe and sell them fries across the country, I would have a franchise. So that's what he did. The fries were the basis for his franchise plan. He became a French fry Jedi master. He developed ways to cure them. He became a computer in his brain, counting down and testing exactly how much time to the exact second to cook the perfect French fry. And the proof was in the pudding, or should I say fry. Everyone sang the praises of the delicious fries, including big-name chefs like Julia Child and James Beard. The restaurant chain was spreading across the country. Everything is going great for Ray Kroc. I mean, he is knocking it down. But in 1966, a big-time businessman named Phil Sokoloff, he had a heart attack at the age of 43. Because of his heart attack, he was ticked about that, evidently. He founded the National Heart Savers Association to campaign against cholesterol and fat. His main target? McDonald's, especially their fries. In a few decades, I mean, this was his whole reason for living. He spent over $15 million attacking McDonald's with full-page newspaper ads saying how dangerous it was and how it was killing people. Finally, in 1990, the company announced that they would replace the beef tallow with 100% vegetable oil. The next day, McDonald's stock dropped 8% right off the bat. The new fry didn't cut it. The secret to the greatness of the original flavor was the beef tallow. And the crisp, crunchy outside and soft inside was no longer the same. And it turns out the new fries, they were not really any healthier, and they tasted terrible. The trans fat in the hydrogenated vegetable oil had their own serious health risk. Okay, got to change it again. Now they've got a third version of the French fry cooked in vegetable oil with less trans fat in 2007. A lot of people said at that point, why don't you just go back to the original? Because if you want a health food, eat a salad, okay? You're eating French fries. This is, you know, there's nothing good for you here except the taste. But the new recipe included canola oil, corn oil, soybean oil, hydrogenated soybean oil, and natural beef flavor. Now, the different oils are probably pretty self-explanatory, but what is that natural beef flavor? That's what gives McDonald's French fries the signature taste, so they were able to get that back. And now that they had that going, it was time to keep moving. So there's all kinds of preservatives and stuff that's in there, but nothing is terrible, so it's okay. Salt is one of the big things. It is a great thing. It is one of God's greatest gifts. Salt, it preserves things. People used it for money. But what it really does, it makes everything taste better. And it goes into the fries before they are frozen and shipped. And then immediately after they come out of the fryer, and you can't wait, you have to put the salt on them within seconds. Because if you don't, once they're cold, the salt's not going to stick. Have you ever tried to salt a cold fry? It don't work.
Yeah, it's got to be hot. Yeah.
It's got to be hot. It's got to be hot. This is why I personally go inside McDonald's to order, and I pay close attention to the fry area. If I see my fries coming out of that basket and getting scooped up, and they're in my hand without delay, I sprint for the condiment area. I grab multiple packs of salt and pepper. I dump my fries loose into the bag. I put probably too much salt and a whole lot of pepper. I grip the bag at the top, and I shake it for 30 seconds. That's enough time to distribute the salt and the pepper evenly on the fries, but not enough time to bruise the crunchy outside walls that hold that fluffy potato that awaits me once I bite into it. It's an experience. Now, no matter how many times I go into McDonald's, and this will be the same case for you, you're only going to get this chance maybe once every 5 or 10 times, because the odds are just ridiculous that they're actually going to do it. Most of the time when you get in there, they've already got some stacked up. They've already started cooling off or whatever. And listen, if you go through the drive-thru, you're wasting your time. Don't even think about this, because at this point, you are blind to what's taking place in the fry area. You're at the mercy of a ticked off 15-year-old that doesn't even want to be there to start with. Now, does this sound like a lot of trouble? Yes, it is. But you have to decide, what do you want out of life? You got to put something in to get something out. Now, that is your life lesson for this podcast. But now let's talk about how the potato goes from the farm to your bag. McDonald's uses different varieties of potatoes depending on what time of year it is. Russet Burbank, Russet Ranger, Umatilla Russet, and Shepherdy. One of their suppliers is 100 Circle Farms. The potatoes are grown in circles so big they're visible from space. This is a big place. The farm can produce 2,400 tons of potatoes a day. That's a lot of potatoes. A lot. That's every day. Now, that just got bought out a few years ago. That big farm is owned by Bill Gates. He is the largest farmland owner in the U.S. He owns more than 269,000 acres in 18 states. He's a monocle and a white Persian cat away from being a supervillain. Okay? I mean...
Why is this so troubling to me? Like, why does it trouble me
that
one individual one has that much control over the food supply? Like,
of what we eat. Yes.
Yeah. I don't love it.
No, it's a little scary.
And I, you know, not to be like superficial and shallow, but I'm looking at Bill Gates and he doesn't look healthy. So if he's feeding us what he's feeding himself, I'm scared. I'm just going to be real. He's pale.
Now,
he looks spindly. He looks wobbly. I don't know, Lamar.
Now, there's about 4, maybe 5 suppliers. The supplier themselves, they peel, blanch, and cut the fries. And they cut the fries with a water gun knife. Does that not sound cool? Water gun
knife. Oh, yeah.
Knife. Now, what it does, I watched the process. The potatoes go through. And they bounce around in this stuff, and it sort of gets the skin off of them. But once they're washed and clean and everything, and the skins are off, this machine shoots them through this tube at 70 miles an hour. The potato is going 70 miles an hour. And it hits these cutting blades, and it's the same principle as a Vegematic, but it's bigger and it's faster. And that's how they get cut. Now, once the fries get cut, they go into the ingredient dip, which ensures consistency in color and taste. That is why no matter which McDonald's you go to, the fries taste exactly the same. Then the fries are dried and they're partially fried. Now, the first frying gives the potatoes the crispy outer shell, and the rest of the frying is done at the restaurant. But this is also while you see some people that are complaining about McDonald's fries having all these ingredients, you know, whatever, the potatoes are double fried. So the vegetable ingredients may be listed twice. So it's really, there's not that many ingredients. The partially fried fries are then frozen and delivered to McDonald's. They're freshly fried to order and supposedly salted to perfection. But again, this is subject to who's running the fryer, their work ethic, and their mood. There's some decent fries at other fast food restaurants, but every other restaurant is competing for second place because there is only one McDonald's fry. Would you agree to that?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to eat them, it's McDonald's. And if you were Five Guys, I have to hand it to Five Guys.
No,
they hand you that brown paper sack of French fries. That is some tasty French fry action. Yeah. But from a fast food chain.
That's great marketing because they give you a ton of them. Yeah.
I will say that the one thing that McDonald's fries gives you is a satisfying boom, whether you buy them, you know, at an airport McDonald's or a rest stop McDonald's. Like, it just doesn't matter. The consistency is what seals that deal.
Yeah. And that's what. Now, supposedly there's some magical powers of McDonald's fries in the UK, where they call French fries chips. One of the methods people trying to get pregnant use is eating McDonald's chips or fries immediately after sex. Now, the internet explains that the belief is that the high salt content in the fries helps with fertilization because it prompts your body to soak up extra fluids. I'm not really sure if it helps, but it dang sure don't hurt. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a pretty tasty treat there after sex, I guess.
You know, I'm kind of a science nerd. I ain't never heard this know-how, but any excuse is fine by me. I get it.
Now, McDonald's states that their beef flavor contains both hydrogenated.
Hydrogenated.
Nope, this is a new one. No, this is
hydrolyzed. Hydrolyzed.
God bless you. God bless you. That's exactly what it is. Wheat and hydrolyzed. Say it again, Sherry.
Hydrolyzed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Wheat and milk. This unfortunately means that McDonald's fries are not vegetarian, they are not vegan, and they're not gluten-free. Now, I tip my hat to you vegans everywhere. Once again, you have sacrificed much for little in return. You are a strong, diligent, misguided group, and I wish you the very, very best, but you can't have any McDonald's fries. Now, one of the things that's in that dip is dextrose, and it's a type of sugar, sort of like glucose, replenish energy in the body. And a ton of processed foods use dextrose. That's probably one of the big deals. And it extends shelf life. Mickey D's uses it to keep the color of the fries the same. No matter what potato they use, the color of the fry remains the same. Then they have sodium acid profosinate, and it keeps the fries from turning gray when they are frozen. I never knew this, but fries will turn gray when they're frozen. But this is what stops that.
That wouldn't be very appealing.
I want to start talking shit about French fries, Lamar. I'm just letting you know. Like, I'm ready to talk shit about the bad French fries anytime you're ready to get to it.
That's what we're getting to. That's what we're getting to right now. All right. Ready? Here we go.
Go ahead. 3, 2, 1.
Now, let's talk about some of those other places. I'm against seasoned fries that are coated with some unknown substance that gets in the way of the outside of the fry. I don't understand this. I don't know what it is. Why you would coat the fry with something. To me, I look at this as the same way. If you go to a barbecue place and they put the sauce on the chopped pork before they give it to you, what are they hiding? What are they hiding? Sherry, you know what I'm talking about on this coating on the outside of the fries.
Can we please discuss who invented that? And if I gas up the car, how about we go burn the house down? What in the world? Yeah. I have never had a batter crumb. I don't know what the name for that abomination is. I have never had a French fry that had that weird crummy batter coating on it that was not gross. I have never had a delicious version of that French fry. What are they doing there? Is that like, okay, here's my guess. They're not cutting like potatoes like they do at Five Guys or for McDonald's or real restaurants or whatever. I think they have a potato slurry like you make Pringles out of, and they form it into long rectangular rods.
It's like Crestwood furniture.
Yeah. And that slurry, see, you might be able to fool somebody when they bite into the French fry with that creamy potato interior. But why do you have that potato slurry coating on the outside? Who are you trying to trick? This is garbage.
And see, none of that
is that a good theory? Do you think that's a good theory?
Yeah, it's a great theory. Because these things, here's what happens. These things are not done at wherever restaurant you're at. This is coming from their food supplier, somebody like Cisco or hopefully, you know, and this is those that it's already done and they're telling the rest, oh, these are pre-seasoned fries. And it sounds like a great idea, but it's not a great idea. And I would think that you would see after a while when people don't order them or people don't, I don't know. I don't understand that. It's a terrible, terrible thing, and I don't get it. Now, I'm not against a dusting of fries with a seasoning because I love the Cajun fries at Five Guys. When they put that Cajun seasoning on the fries, and I'm going to tell somebody else that has – go ahead.
There's a Greek place near us. They do a killer Greek salad, and they have all these kind of options for French fries, and one of them is like cumin, lemon, garlic. Whoa. Delicious, but it's a real fry. Like they have like Five Guys kind of fries. Like, and so you get all those like little, there's a little bit of peel and you get some really crunchy, done ones. Yeah. But then they put those seasonings on it as the Lord God intended.
Yes.
They don't give you that weird battery, dusty ass, bad slurry fry.
No. I don't know what that is. I really don't. I think surprisingly, Bojangles. They have a fantastic seasoned fry. The fry itself could be better, but their seasoning, it is really good. I don't get them that often, but they are really good. As far as other fast food places, I don't hate Wendy's fries. I mean, they're very middle of the road, but they're nothing special. Not bad. For me, if I'm traveling and I can't find a Five Guys, I'll stop at Wendy's. I don't usually get the fries, but I stop at Wendy's because they got a good burger. Now, Burger King. Their fries suck, or at least they did the last time I ate them. And the problem is, every few months you look on the TV and there's commercials because they change their fries. It's like every other week. This is a new and a better fry. We've reinvented the fry. It's a new fry. They're constantly wrong on both statements. It's not new and it's not better. It's not good. They've got a decent onion ring, but their fries. Yeah, let it
don't
go.
Don't be reinventing it. Get you a potato. Cut it into sticks, fry it in some peanut oil, put some salt on it, and get on with yourself. Stop trying to reinvent the basics. They're delicious. They don't need reinventing. What other French fries can we kick while they're down? Yeah, go on, Lamar. Go on.
Burger King has a decent – the Whopper, that's a good tasty thing, but you got to have some fries. Hardee's. Hardee's should not serve fries, okay? They just shouldn't do it because that's not their thing. Their hamburgers are pretty decent, but the fries – here's the deal. Hardee's, you need to stick with that gravy biscuit. It's the best thing you got. But yet they stopped selling it at 10:30 in the morning. I don't know who's running that place, but Now, here's a controversial thing. Chick-fil-A waffle fries. That's a gamble. And trust me, I love some Chick-fil-A, a.k.a. Christian chicken. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to get that waffle fry, if it was left in the fryer for a little bit longer and it's crisp, and they've been salted properly, they are amazing. But most of the time, they're not that crisp, so they're not that great. And with the level of their customer service, I can overlook almost anything. But it's how are you with waffle fries? What's your thought?
The only waffle fries I'm really open to are, like, my kids like Chick-fil-A. So I've eaten a lot of Chick-fil-A waffle fries. They need to be well done. Otherwise, they're a little bit flabby and limp and sad. And nobody wants that, no how. If you have a flabby, limp, room temperature Chick-fil-A waffle fry and you douse it in Chick-fil-A barbecue sauce, you've got something you can work with. But to just pluck one out of the bag and it's flabby and it's limp and it's room temperature and it doesn't have enough salt on it, like why don't I just eat a fistful of Q-tips for the amount of pleasure I'm getting for those calories, right?
Well, see, that's what I don't understand. Chick-fil-A, they don't make mistakes. They're dead on it. Why the fry is escaped their... No, it's just a waffle fry. Crisp is great, not crisp, not great. Now, there's Arby's. The curly fry is the abomination of desolation in the fry world. Mm-mm. It is of the devil. It looks unappealing like a pig's tail, and I think it tastes like I think a pig's tail would taste. Okay.
They have that weird battered fried stuff on it. They do. Terrible. They got that. They got that. And I often puzzle over an Arby's curly fry because I'm like, I think you're a slurry fry, but they made you in the curly shape, which feels like they went to some extra steps and expense.
Yeah.
So how about you take that, stick it where the sun don't shine, give me a decent French fry. How about that?
No, how about that?
Hey. Have you ever had a good curly fry?
No, I was fixing to say, it's not just Arby's. I've had curly fries at a barbecue place or something like that, and they go, oh, we got curly fries. They can never get crisp. There's no such thing as a crisp curly fry.
Mm-mm.
It's a spongy spring. That's all it is. It's no good.
Mealy.
Arby's is...
It's It's a dusty, terrible. Crumbly, mealy, greasy thing. Ew.
Yeah. I mean, they're without a doubt the worst retail fry on the market. Now, Arby's got excellent sandwiches, but they need to get serious about these fries, man. And now, if we're talking about atrocities, I don't want to leave out the words that should strike terror in the heart of any true French fry lover's heart. Steak fries.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Listen.
Steak fries.
Listen, I don't know who invented that, and I know that person is dead, and he was probably a cook on a cowboy chuck wagon whose nickname was Cookie, and he was doing what he could to work with what he had, but that should have gone extinct. I have never had a good steak fry. They are always flabby and sad. I have never had a crunchy, delicious steak fry ever.
See,
ever.
Here's the deal. Fries are fries because the salty, crispy outside gives you a wonderful texture experience right before you enjoy the soft, hot potato inside. Steak fries, they have none of that. It's just a lot of potato and no crunch. It's nothing more than a potato wedge's poor cousin trying to act like it's got money. It's a scam. It's no good. If you're going to order steak fries, just get a baked potato. At least that's an actual thing.
Thank you.
Steak fries are not a fry. Don't do it. If you want...
Do you know what the worst part of steak fries for me is? Steak fries for me are a lot like my dating life. It's in front of me. I know how it's going to end. But maybe this time it's different. You know, maybe I poke around on the plate. One of these sons bitches had to have been properly cooked and be a little bit crunchy. You know, I mean, just the law of averages tells me one of these steak fries had to get properly cooked. I have never had a steak fry that was like, now that's a steak fry. Never had.
Yeah, there's no.
And now, can I point out to you, Lamar, this is a corollary. Why is it that the same place that'll dare to put a flabby, pathetic, depressed, ashamed of itself steak fry on your plate is the very same place that gives you Texas toast whether you want it or not? Why? Why do Texas toast...
It's all distractions. It's all distractions.
Texas toast and steak fries are like, well, I'm a loser. Well, I'm a loser too. Let's hang. I mean, it's just awful. It's awful.
It's a club. Now, my favorite at-home fry is a frozen crinkle cut. No brand name, no oven bake, no additions, just plain crinkle cut. No muss, no fuss. And normally, at home, I'm not big on fresh cut fries most of the time because, you know, they're hard to get right. And I'll do them at home, but it takes a lot of time because you got to take a russet potato. You got to scrub it. You don't really have to peel it, so that's cool. But then you slice it and you put it in a bowl. You fill that bowl up with water. And you got to put a little lemon juice in there so they don't turn brown. Now, you got to let them sit in the fridge for at least 3 hours. And most of the time, I'll do it the day before. I let it sit all night.
Yeah.
And then pour them out, rinse them. Then you got to dry them. You got to spread them out on some paper, you know, paper towel. You got to dry them. And you hit that vegetable oil at about 400 degrees and fry them for about a minute. No, not over a minute and a half. Pull them out. Put them back on the towel. You got to let them cool for 30 minutes. Then you got to go back and do it again. But, buddy,
and
if you go through the trouble,
it's worth it.
Yes, it is.
This is why I make homemade French fries about once every 7 years. They're like, cicadas. Yeah. Brutex of homemade French fries emerges.
Because you got to have this thing of oil and all this. I mean, there's a lot to it.
I learned from a British cooking website a few years ago. I finally learned why British roast potatoes are the bomb. It's because they do this with roast potatoes. They boil the potato in salt water, then they dry it, then they bake it, and it ends up crunchy on the outside and creamy on the inside. Whatever seasonings you do, like, that's on you, but the amount of time and preparation that goes into producing a masterpiece of a French fry is what makes curly fries, slurry fries, and flabby-ass steak fries such an abomination unto the Lord. Because what it's saying to you is, oh, hey, are you my customer? I don't give a damn about you. I don't care about you. A curse on your house and your family. Like, it's just lazy and indifferent. It's so gross. I didn't know I felt this strongly about potatoes. I'm kind of having a moment.
when you plan ahead French fries 24 hours in advance to soak them, and then you fry them, and then you take them out, and then you let them cool, and then you fry them again. Yeah. It's a lot of trouble. But again, you got to put something in to get something out. And once you've had that perfect fry, whether it has been attained by retail or homemade, what you dip it in is very important. Now, are you a ketchup dipper?
So it's the only place ketchup is allowed in my life is I'm a dipper, not a, when I see people squirt ketchup across a serving of French fries, like,
I don't get it.
It makes me think of like, oh, well, maybe you're one of those human like aliens that walks among us because what the hell did you just do? But if for me to dip a French fry in ketchup, first I have to add salt and pepper to the ketchup and then use a French fry to stir it up and then I can dip it.
I can't believe that people are putting them on the ketchup on the French fries because that makes the French fries soggy. Yeah, I don't understand why would you do that. I'm such a purist. I believe it should be the fry and salt, and that's it. Because if the French fry is good enough, we don't need to be dipping it in anything else.
I know, and I don't disagree with that. I really don't. But now I do dip. I enjoy a lot of things. Honey mustard. I like that pretty good. I know this sounds crazy. Thousand Island dressing. That's pretty good with onion rings, maybe French fries too. But for me, if I'm going to dip it, because for me, ketchup is good if you're a kid. But once you're old enough to drive a car, you need to move on. And for me, the only thing that I really dip a fry in is Duke's mayonnaise. I love mayonnaise and fries.
So I like barbecue sauce. I'll dip a French fry in barbecue sauce. I will. I know.
That's okay. A lot of people do.
I have tried, but I'm only going to do that if what the fries came with already had barbecue sauce accompanying it. You know, I'm not going to be like bringing my own from home. But I have watched people dip French fries in mayonnaise, and I've watched people dip French fries in mayonnaise with the same fascinated horror that I watch people in polyamorous relationships. Like, how do you do it? I don't even know how you do it. Like, I don't have the energy. Yeah. Like, how are you, girl? How are you torn between two lovers feeling like a fool? And then somebody said to me, you don't get to say this is gross until you try it. And I tried it. And Lamar, you are correct. It is delicious.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. The way you're talking about that is the same way I look at it when somebody dips it in ranch. I'm a ranch hater. I'm an absolute ranch hater.
What about when you're at a restaurant and they have homemade potato chips, like a sports bar kind of place, and it comes with a little cup of ranch? You won't even allow ranch to cross your sweet lips
setting? I won't. But here's what I'm ashamed to say. They a couple of different places, when you see something that says spicy fry sauce or whatever, I mean, that's pretty good. And I love it with those chips, the spicy fry sauce. Come to find out, it's ranch dressing with hot stuff in it. Yeah. And so I just try to pretend I don't know that because I do like that pretty good. I mean, I really do. But listen, this is like everything else with food for me. There's always a best way to do everything, especially food. Now, I think we've roll these fries over the coals, the people that's good, the people that's bad, and whatever. But I don't know about you, but I'm hungry now. We've been talking about these fries for so long. So I do want to thank everybody so much for taking the time to hang out with us. And I hope you know more about fries than you did before you started. We enjoyed it. Hope you did too. Don't forget, come back for more because I hate a quitter. Till next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.